Okay, so as you know, the way the calendar works out this week, so Tisha B'Av is the ninth day of Av, which falls out on Shabbos, whereas we observe the fast day of Tisha B'Av on Sunday. So there are a few variables that come into play regarding the issue of Tisha B'Av, that falls out on a Sunday versus a Shabbos. Generally speaking, we're familiar with the concept of a Tanis Nidcha. What's the number one rule when it comes to any Tanis Nidcha?
Move it up.
What?
Move it up?
No. What do you mean by up?
Like, for the other fast days,
not really. Right?
You can act on Shabbos.
That's only one fast day that we make earlier. What's the fast day we make earlier? Right, Tanis Esther. Right? So we said, the Gemara says we don't move Puranios, negative days, we don't move them closer. We push them farther away. But Tanis Esther is different because it's not a Tanis of Puranios. Like, that has a happy ending. So therefore, the Tanis Esther is not a fast of Avelus. Although we observe, the fast, and we actually say Slichos on that day, but there's a very different theme to Tanis Esther than there is to every other fast day, in the sense that Tanis Esther, we know the ending already, and we want to remind ourselves that the whole reason we had the salvation of Purim was because of the fasting and the tshuva that the Jewish people did at the time, right? Actually, what's the real date of Tanis Esther in the Megillah?
Pesach,
very good, right? It was a 3-day fast, and it happened over the first days of Pesach. So Tanis Esther is the exception, not the rule. Every other fast day, we move it back. We push it to the next day. And the number one nafkamina that we talk about, Joel mentioned to me that he heard of Psak from Rav Nevensal, that on this Tisha B'Av, even though normally we're a little more machmir with the fasting on Tisha B'Av than we are every other fast day, except for Yom Kippur, obviously. Therefore, this Tisha B'Av, he said that nursing and pregnant women should eat on Tisha B'Av. They shouldn't fast because it's a nidcha. It's a fast that was pushed off till the next day. So whenever it's a makeup fast day, so we're a little more lenient when it comes to the fasting, right? That's why I was told. I don't remember which camp. I don't know if I ever knew. Somebody said the rabbi of one of the camps said that this Shiva Asur B'Tam was everyone has to drink. Everyone has to drink. That. Yeah, so this all seems to be a bit much for me, but I think if you feel dehydrated, you should drink. You shouldn't get sick, but you're not going to get sick normally on Shiva Asur B'Tamas. If you feel sick, you should drink and eat whatever. Obviously, not to your heart's content, but so much so that you don't get sick. But I think we got a little ahead of ourselves with the paranoia. But then again, I'm not a doctor, so. I don't really know. But nevertheless, I think one of the reasons they were so lenient l'chadchila was that it was a nidcha, that already it wasn't Shiva Asur B'Tamas anymore, it was Shmona Asur B'Tamas, and therefore we were a little more lenient when it comes to the fasting. So that's always the number one nafkamina when it comes to pushing off a fast day. However, when it comes to pushing off Tisha B'Av, there might be some more nafkaminas that are relevant to us, this particular week. Rabbi Richter just mentioned to me this morning that he got a question yesterday: are you allowed to cut your nails this week? Right. So, what's normally the answer? You're not allowed to cut your nails during the Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. That's the minig that the Ashkenazim have accepted upon themselves. So the question really is this the Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av? So, I'll regal achas and just say, yeah, of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? Like, that's the Tisha B'Av is in less than a week. But on the other hand, you could argue, no, it's not the Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. It's because Tisha B'Av is Sunday. The Shavua Shechal, there is no Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av this year. Right? So that's another one of the nafkaminas to play out. How do we treat this week? Right? In camp, we don't usually make siyumim during the Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Right? There's a minhag not to eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days, right? So there are different. If you look in the Gemara in Tainus and the Mishnah in Tainus, they discuss not eating meat and drinking wine when.
not the Shavuot Shechabo, but that's mentioned in passing in Bava Basra, but the in the Gemara in Tainus they discuss that they discuss that the Erev Tisha B'Av is usser to eat meat and drink wine. Erev Tisha B'Av, there's an Isser Derabbanan, there's a real Isser, maybe a little stronger than that, maybe Midibrei Kabbalah. But we Ashkenazim extended the minhag from Rosh Chodesh Av. In fact, it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch actually points out that there are some who have the minhag not to eat meat and drink wine the entire 3 weeks. It would be difficult to pull that off in a camp setting, but such a minhag did make it into Shulchan Aruch. But so there's an Ikar Adin right at the Erev Tisha B'Av, and then there's the minhag that we extended it to that. But so some people say that, like, well, since the Shavuot Shechalbo is a stricter time than the 9 days, so maybe not to make siyumim during the Shavuot Shechalbo Tisha B'Av either, right? Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he's talking about shaving during the 3 weeks for the purpose of going to work. He just says b'kitzer that if you need to go to work and you know it's not going to be appropriate to show up to the office not having shaved, so you're allowed to shave during the 3 weeks. He says just not during the Shavuot Shechalbo Tisha B'Av, because he says during the Shavuot Shechalbo Tisha B'Av it's aser me'ikar hadin to shave. And therefore, you can't shave during that time, even for work. But every other time, you can shave. So, what about this year? Is a person allowed to show up to work every single day until Tisha B'Av? He's allowed to come, in having shaved properly. Other years, if Tisha B'Av would come out on a Tuesday or Wednesday, he would have to. Even if Tisha B'Av can't come out on a Wednesday, but the way the calendar works. But Tisha B'Av can't come out on a Monday, a Wednesday, or Friday. That's the way our calendar is set up. Same as Pesach. So what? Rosh Hashanah can't be a Sunday, Wednesday, and a Friday, and Pesach can't be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Okay. So let's look into some of the some nafkaminas I didn't just mention. Right. So the one I spent the most time in the Makoros is because I'd say the shtickiest. Is the bar mitzvah boy Shaila, right? So if you have a bar mitzvah, very few bar mitzvahs probably during the 3 weeks in terms of people making a bar mitzvah. I'm sure statistically the same number of people celebrate their actual chiyuv and mitzvahs during the 3 weeks as they do the rest of the year. But in terms of making bar mitzvahs, it's like, you know, making bar mitzvahs during Sefiras Omer. So what is the bar mitzvah boy darshan? Right? Mm-hmm. Bar mitzvah boy always, the most commonly given bar mitzvah drasha is always, you know, for the bar mitzvah boy who becomes bar mitzvah during Sefiras Omer. Right? The Minchas Chinuch's famous suffix. If you become a bar mitzvah boy during Sefiras Omer, so you haven't been counting Sefiras Omer as a bar chiyuva up until this point, are you allowed to pick up the Sefiras Omer in the middle? Right? So that's one of the ways that the Minchas Chinuch clarifies that issue as a nafkamina between the Bahag and everybody else, right? That's one of those things. The Bahag had tremendous mazel in this area where he said, oh, if you miss a day of Sefiras Omer, you're not allowed to count Sefiras HaOmer anymore, right? That was the shita of the Baal Halachas Gedolos. Virtually every Rishon rejects that shita. But the Bahag won. He somehow, his mazel was such that everybody knows that one halacha about Sefiras HaOmer. They don't realize that that's really a minority opinion. And really, you definitely should count Sefiras Omer going forward, just that you shouldn't make your own bracha in deference to the Bahag. Right, so you don't make a bracha, but you certainly, according to Rov Rishonim, you're chayiv in the mitzvah. So you could certainly listen to somebody else's bracha, listen to Shlich Tzibur's bracha, you could listen to somebody else's bracha, and tell them to have you in mind, to be motzi you in the bracha, and then you could be yotzi the mitzvah properly. So there's no reason to stop. Okay, anyway, that's what I say. If you hold like the Bahag, so you're bar mitzvah boy, you already missed out on the first half of the mitzvah, so then, you know, missed out on the first 10 days, so now you don't count Sefira the rest of the way, either with a bracha or maybe no, maybe it's different. So this is a similar shaila, but, you know, if you end up having a bar mitzvah during the 3 weeks, so you could give this as your bar mitzvah drasha, that is a bar mitzvah boy who's, you know, that, listen, you could, let's say, they say that Mashiach, his birthday is on Tisha B'Av, right? There is such a statement in Chazal, that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. You could certainly not take that literally, it could be figurative in terms of that Tisha B'Av is not only, it's the destruction, day of destruction, but it's also the day of the beginning of the Geula, right? So you know, we say that figuratively that the Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. Right, it doesn't mean that if you know a guy whose birthday is not on Tisha B'Av, he's, you know, he can't be Mashiach. But so you know, if you're not, if you might still be in the running. So bottom line is that if your birthday turns out to be on not on Tisha B'Av, but on the next day, Yud B'Av, you turn Bar Mitzvah on Yud B'Av, so you were putter from fasting on Tisha B'Av. But now it's Yud B'Av, and you're actually having the fast day today. So are you chayef to fast as a Bar Mitzvah? You hear the question? So you'll say, what's the difference? You're chayef to fast anyway. It's three fasts before your Bar Mitzvah. Right? That's not really a thing. So the it's not three fasts before your Bar Mitzvah. I don't know where it comes from, but it's not found in the poskim, really. In Yom Kippur, they say that you should be mechanef yourself to fast on Yom Kippur from a certain age, maybe from the age of 11. You should be mechanef yourself to fast, you should mechanef your children to fast on Yom Kippur. The three fast thing, I'm not sure it's legitimate. But nevertheless, so you don't want to fast on Tisha B'Av. You weren't Bar Mitzvah on Tisha B'Av. Now they pushed it off to your Bar Mitzvah. You don't feel like fasting. So are you chayef to fast, or are you potter from fasting? So this is actually a shiloh that was brought up in a different context, in a much more cheerful context, and it's also related to Tisha B'Av in the sense that we have to remind ourselves what we're missing out on when it comes to Tisha B'Av. So we're missing out on one of the most important mitzvos in the Torah, i.e. Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel, so the opening Mishnah in Maseches Chagiga deals with the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and specifically the karbanos that you bring when you do Aliyah L'Regel. So let's take a look at the Mishnah. Okay, so these are the people who are chayiv in Re'iyah. What's Re'iyah? Right, going to see the Arabayas and bringing that special korban olas re'iyah.
So it's called
Aliyah L'Regel, and bringing the korban olas re'iyah. Right, so for our purposes, when we're discussing the tashlumin, we're talking about bringing the olas re'iyah later. So he had a whole long list, and among the people on the list who were potter was a person who can't walk, because you have to be able to walk up to the Harabayas under your own power, and a katan, right? So that's the list. So then the Mishnah says, "Ezu katan." What's a katan? Kol shenu yachol lirkov al ktefav shel aviv lalos mirshalayim laharabayas. The Beis Shammah says the guy doesn't have to walk; he could just get a piggyback ride from his father, and that's good enough. And that is the opinion of Beis Shammah. Beis Shammah, no. Kol shenu eno yachol lechos biyados. Shalav v'lalos mirushalayim l'arabais. He doesn't. He has to be able to walk under his own power. But since obviously you can imagine the throngs of people coming up to the harabais, you're not going to let a little kid just walk on his own. So you hold his hand while he's walking. But that's good enough. He has to be able to walk under his own power, though, according to Beis Hillel, shenemar shalosh regalim. Fine. Let's skip to the Gemara here. Hakol asuyimai. What is the word hakol? See, everyone is chayiv in re'iyah. Who's that including? Lasuye mi shechatziyav chatziyav ben chorin. Right? Classic case of a chatziyav chatziyav ben chorin. How do you ever become a chatziyav chatziyav ben chorin? Right. You have partners. You have partners in a slave, and then one guy sells his share, or he's meshacher his share, whatever it is. Right. So one guy gets out of the business, and the other guy stays in the business. So that's the simplest way to understand a chatzi ever chatzi ben chor. Ula Ravina Adamar Misha chatzi ever chatzi ben chor and potter miner iakol asuyimai. But Ravina doesn't hold this way for not our discussion. But he says that if you're chatzi ever chatzi ben chor and you're potter, just one sec. What is hakol including la suye chiger biyom rishon mispash biyom sheni? Right, this happens sometimes. You get a minor injury, and you can't walk. But the next day you can walk. Right, I'm sure it's happened to people that they. You know, they heal fairly quickly from a minor injury, and now they're able to walk. So saying hakol includes that you're chayiv in olas re'iyah. You couldn't make it on the first day of Yontif, but now the first day of Chol HaMoed, you get up there and you are able to bring your korban ola. Yeah.
According to the Tanakh Kalam in the Gemara, what's the half meaning of the question? Like it says hakol it's not really mashma the Gemara that person wouldn't be included. It says avadim she'ena mishukar. The person who's chetzi bnei chorin is obviously, is one of those people. So what's the Gemara's question? According to the Tanakh, misha chetzi eved chetzi bnei chorin. Why would you think that wouldn't be included?
Why would you think he shouldn't be included?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, whenever you have this problem with Tzad Abda Shabbat, so you don't know what to do with such an individual. Meaning, like, if you, it's very hard to know. Meaning, you say, like, well, the Tzad Cheres Shabbat is Chayav, the Tzad Abda Shabbat is Pater. So how do we view the totality of the individual? Right, so it's a little bit, we're a little bit stuck. Meaning, the Gemaras that indicate that we don't want a person to be stuck in the position of Chatziyev and Chatziyev and Chorin are often for result oriented mitzvos. The simplest example is when Beis Shammai says that you have to free a Chatziyev and Chatziyev and Chorin. It's because he can't have children because he can't marry a Bas Yisrael and he can't marry Shifcha Kananis. So he says, and the Gemara, it's in two places in Bava Basra, and it's also in Kiddushin. So the Gemara says you have to free the other half so that he can fulfill. And they quote the pasuk of wrong, right? They should have, right? They should have quoted the pasuk of Peru Revu, exactly, right? But then they say lo tohu bara l'sheves yitzara, right? That the world was not created to be desolate; rather, it was created to be populated. So that's the whole question over there that Tosfos deals with and others. Why quote this pasuk versus the obvious pasuk of Peru Revu? There's a lot of different answers to that question, but the simple shot is that we're dealing with a result-oriented problem. I wouldn't call an olas re'iyah a result-oriented mitzvah.
So the Mishnah says, avadim she'ena mishukharim, like, if you're part mishukharim, then you're not in a
mishukharim. Right, but in other words, this guy has a tzad avda, so you'd say, maybe you'd argue that the tzad avda shebo potters him from the idea. In other words, the point is there's nothing necessarily special about this mitzvah that would have thought a chatziyev and chatziyev and chorin would have to do. It's not result oriented as much as it's mice oriented in that way. So for our purposes, it says it's to include someone who got better on the second day. So now the Gemara says, not so fast. The fact that he got better on the second day doesn't make him chayev, right? That's if you hold that you're doing tashlumin throughout, right? If you couldn't do it on the first day, you do it on the second day. If you couldn't do it on the second day, do it on the third day. But elamanda amar kulan tashlumin de rishon, yeah, you can make up for it on the later days. But what are you making up for? You're making up for the chiyev that happened when? What? On the first day only. Right? So hakola suyimai. So then you're stuck with the original question, who are we including when it says hakol, meaning there's no according to Mandamar, that there's no tashlumin when it comes to someone who was putter on the first day. So then we don't know. The guy who was unable to walk on the first day, and now he's able to walk later on, he is putter. Because he was putter on the first day, and he's putter throughout. So there's nothing to make up for. Right? This is, for example, I'll give you an example. There's a machlokas in the Rush, in Meseches Brachos. The Rush discusses an onin. Let's say somebody lost a relative on Shabbos. Right? So somebody lost a relative on Shabbos, and the funeral's not going to happen until Sunday morning. So do they make Havdalah Motzai Shabbos? No, they don't, right? Definitely don't. Everybody would agree, no Havdalah, right? We call that, colloquially, we use the term onin for such an individual, right? Really, the tour of mitzvos is not based on the concept of aninas per se. That's really, the technical term would be Misha Meso Mutalafanav, right? An onain is a dindoraisa, where you can't eat miser and you can't offer karbanos and things like that if it's the same day that the relative died. But nevertheless, so we call them an onain. Okay, so it's onain with a lowercase aleph. So the person's an onain on Motzoi Shabbos. He does not make Havdalah, right? Now Sunday morning funeral happens. Okay, now he's ready to go home. The first thing you do after the funeral is you eat the Sudas Havra. Right, so does he eat it or does he make Havdalah? What do you say? So, seems like he should make Havdalah, but on the other hand, he was Pater when the Chi of Havdalah set in, right? It was potter when the Chiyuv Avdalah set in. So is there a makeup for that time or no? Right? It's a similar question. So that the Rosh quotes a machlokas between the Ri and the Marami Rutenberg about that particular issue. Rabbi Chana Wasserman says maybe that's a question of classic chakira of what we call hutra versus dechuya when it comes to osik b'mitzvah patim and amitzvah. Right? That's a Rabbi Chanan has that in the Kovet Shimon Baba Basra. But for our purposes, it's a question. If you were really chayiv on the first day, you just couldn't do it, so then maybe you can make it up later. But if you were really potter on the first day, what are you making up? So there's nothing to talk about. So here the Gemara is saying, if you hold kulam tashlum and derishon, there's nothing to make up. You were potter on the first day. So you're making up for something you were never chayiv in the first place? It's impossible. So that is the simple understanding of the Gemara here. Fine. You guys got a chance to check out Rashi over there? So I think that's basically how Rashi explains it, no? Right. Okay, so let's look at the Gemara in Daf Tes. Umay Teshlum. Right, so now this is the machlokas that they were referencing. You know, the Gemara does that sometimes. So thank God we have Rashi to help us out, where he tells us, the Gemara is referencing a machlokas that you haven't seen yet. Right? So you have to look on Daf Tes to find the actual machlokas. So you say, what does Tashlumin mean? Rav Yochanan Omar, Tashlumin the Rishon. Rav Oshi Omar, Tashlumin Zelazet. Rav Yochanan says, everything you do later on is to make up for the Chiyuv on the first day. And Rav Oshi says, no, you can. The Chiyuv is a continuous Chiyuv. May be Nayu. Am Rav Zera, Chiyuv Yom Rishon, Espash Yom Sheni, he could be Nayu. And the Nafkamina is, if you were totally potter on the first day, you couldn't walk. And now you're better. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tashlum on the Rishon, Kevin the Lochazi Rishon, Lochazi Bisheni. Rabbi Oshi Amar Tashlum in Zelizav, Algab the Lochazi Rishon, Chazi Bisheni. So you couldn't, so what? The fact that you couldn't walk on the first day. It's a rolling Chiyuv. It continues on throughout the Yantif. And therefore, you can make it up later. So how does the Rambam Paskin? Paskin's like? Of Oshia, let's see. Mishalo ikra biyom ritov rishon olas riyaso v'shalmei chagigas or ezei makrivan b'shari mosaregel shenemar shivas yomim tachog l'ashem elokecha melamed shekulan ru'uyim chagiga v'kulan tashlume rishon heim. One second. So what's he talking about here? He says it's kulan tashlume de rishon, but he also says, but he says it's cool and tashlum and derishon. Right. So probably there, the simplest way to deal with it is that the second part of the Rambam is only talking about the Korban Chagiga. Right? The Korban Chagiga you can bring throughout. The Olas Re'iyah, since if he's saying it's tashlum and derishon, you have to work on if he's talking about the Olas Re'iyah or not. But for our purposes today, so this is this, you know, if we were talking about this sugya, we would have to spend a lot more time on this Rambam. Right? So just a red flag, you know, I don't know. I never use bookmarks on my browser. Anybody use bookmarks on browsers? Or you just like sort of, yes, I never do. I don't know why. But so bookmark this Rambam. If you use bookmarks, bookmark this Rambam for, you know, some point in the future. You got to come back and work on what he's talking about over here. But for our purposes today, he does hold kulan tashlum and derishon, which the Gemara says black and white, that if you hold Tashlum and Derishon, so we wouldn't have to make it up later. Now, I'm going to skip for today, I'm going to skip Tosfos and the Turiyemen. Hopefully we'll come back to them, because I think there's an important discussion to be had regarding Tosfos and the Turiyemen over here. But one more Mari Makom, also related to Korbanos, is in the Gemara in Pesachim regarding the Pesach Sheni. So, here we say, Gershon is Geyer, Bein Shnei Pesachim. If you have someone who became Jewish in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. V'chein Katan Shehigdil, Bein Shnei Pesachim. Okay, now we've got it black on white. Right? Right, so you want to, if you're at your gerus, you want to say a drash. No, like it's like the chassan's tish for the ger. So he'll say shtickle Torah that everybody will be impressed. Oh, look who we're getting such a lamdan, and then everybody will be excited to have him be Megayer. So he'll say this shtickle Torah. If you're Megayer between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, and a katan became a gadol between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, chayev lasos Pesach Sheni. He is chayev to bring the Pesach Sheni. So the Braisa starts off, according to Rebbe, Divrei Rebbe, you're chayev to bring the Pesach Sheni. Rebbe Nassan Omer, kol shezakuk l'rishon, zakuk l'sheni. No, if you were chayev to bring the Pesach Rishon, so you're chayev to bring the Pesach Sheni. Kol she'en zakuk l'rishon, ain't zakuk l'sheni. But if you were not chayev then, you're not chayev now. B'maiko miflegei, what's the whole machlokes? Rebbe Savar, sheni rega b'fnei atzmahu. Right, the Pesach Sheni is its own thing. And therefore, it's its own independent chiyuv that comes up later on. So if you only participate in the holiday if you have an outstanding chiyuv. But if you were, I take that back. Not if you have an outstanding chiyuv. If you haven't otherwise been mekayim this mitzvah, but if you have been mekayim the mitzvah, you don't then start. Right, so that's why I tried to rephrase what I was saying. Right? The way it works is that it's a regel b'fnei atzmo, but if you've already gotten a p'tur from the first Pesach, then you don't have to bring the Pesach Sheni. But if you have not yet gotten the p'tur, then you have to bring the Pesach Sheni. Right? So that's Rebbe's opinion. And Reb Nassan Sover, Sheni Tashlum Derishon Hu. Tikkun Rishon lo maskin lay, right? It's all about Tashlumin, and he wasn't chayev at the time of the Pesach Rishon, and therefore he doesn't bring the Pesach Sheni. Right? And this is the Rambam Paskins this way as well, that you don't bring the Pesach Sheni if you were, this is following the classic rule of Halacha Kirebi Mechaveiro, right? If it's a one-on-one machlokis with Rebbe, you paskin like Rebbe. And the Rambam says, we paskin that if you're a Gershon is Gair or Katan Sheigdil, you don't bring the Pesach Sheni.
I thought Rebbe would say Chayav Lasos Pesach Sheni.
What?
I thought Rebbe would say Chayav Lasos Pesach Sheni.
Oh, one second. I said it backwards. I apologize. Right? Again, Rebbe, the Rambam Paskins like Rebbe, and he says that you're Chayav to bring the Pesach Sheni because it is a regel b'fnei atzmo. Correct. Right? If we viewed it as Tashlum and Derishon, you would not bring it. If you view it as a regel b'fnei atzmo, you do bring it. Yeah.
Isn't this a little bit of a weird lashon in the Gemara? Because it's a sheni tashlum in the rishon hu, right? So then, if you took the lashon of sheni tashlum in the rishon hu and put it in the Gemara in Tanis or Chagida or whatever it was,
yeah.
Then you would think that would mean that you would have to do it. You hear it saying that here the lashon means you don't have to do it. Like sheni tashlum in the rishon makes it sound like if you couldn't do it the first time, you can't do it the second time. But here it's the lashon that means that you don't have to do it.
If you couldn't, no, because it's different. Meaning there, if you couldn't. It just happens to be a different halacha, because by the Pesach Rishon, if you couldn't bring the Pesach Rishon the first time, then you do bring the Pesach Sheni. In the case of Olas Re'ia, if you couldn't do it the first time, then you don't bring it. Meaning it has the reverse effect. That's why I got confused when I was saying it outside. Right? If you're putter from Olas Re'ia the first time because you don't qualify because of a technicality, you can't walk, so then you don't do the Tashlumin later. If you're putter from the Pesach Rishon because you don't qualify, let's say you're Bederech Rechoka or you're Tameh, so then you do bring the Pesach Sheni.
It's like a different conversation entirely. Like,
right, it's the same ideas of Tashlumin, but it's the reverse halacha.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically what we're saying here is, if we view something as a Tashlumin of the Rishon, it depends, were you chayev to do the Rishon? So now we're back to our original question. How do you view fasting on the 10th day of Av? Do we view fasting on the 10th day of Av as a tashlumin? Really, you should have fasted on the 9th day of Av. But you can't fast on Shabbos. So we don't fast on the 9th day of Av, we fast on the 10th day of Av. So if you were chayev to fast on the 9th day of Av, but you couldn't, so you have to fast on the 10th day of Av. It's making up for Shabbos. So if it's making up for Shabbos, and you were putter from mitzvos on Shabbos, would you have to fast on Sunday? Again, you're not a bar mitzvah on Shabbos. You are a bar mitzvah on Sunday. So now they say, ha ha, welcome to your chiyuvim and mitzvos. Now you can fast. Right? So. So. Right? Exactly. Right? It's exactly this machlokes. If it's a tashlumin of the day that you were potter from anyway, you shouldn't have to fast. If it's its own day, then you should have to fast because you're bar mitzvah now. So this is the nafkamina we were working towards. And the Rashba has a very short tshuva here which sheds some light on our issue. Right? The question is, how is one supposed to act on this Tisha B'Av, meaning Shabbos, which is the ninth day of Av? How do you conduct yourself? Now, the Gemara says clearly that if it's on Shabbos, you have a big feast and you enjoy the Shabbos, afilu kesudas shloma melech b'shaito, right? You can have a delicious shalosh seudos and no problem, right? But for our purposes, I mean, not for our purposes, because we're all, you know, besides me, we're all single. But so the Rashba was dealing with a slightly different question, right? So he says in the Tshuvas, Umash she'alta b'tisha ba'av shechal lios b'shabes ma'u b'tashmish amita, is a person potter, or I'm sorry, chayev or usher to do tashmish amita on that Friday night? Mi have ke'avil da'alma. Is it similar to a general avelus? Meaning, you know, if you ever knew someone sitting shiva, they come to shul on Shabbos, right? Right. We actually have a special custom how we greet them on Shabbos. We wait till everybody's makabel the Shabbos. You know, wait till Mizmor Shiliyama Shabbos, and then we turn around and we wish them a nechama, and they come to shul. But so does that, they don't really observe any dinim of avelus on Shabbos, but except for one thing, right? We call dvarim shebitzina. Things that are done in the privacy of your own home. So mihavi ke'avil da'alma damrina and dvarim shebitzina noe. Do we say that he observes dvarim shebitzina? Now, what does that mean practically? Dvarim shebitzina refers to things that happen in the privacy of your bedroom. So you are an avil in the privacy of your own bedroom. You're not an avil for all other matters. So you're not allowed to engage in tashmish amita on the Shabbos of your avilus. So does that apply to Tisha B'Av as well? Meaning Tisha B'Av is the day that you're supposed to be aser b'tashmish amita, you're supposed to be in avelus. So we are noeg dvarim shebitzina, or you could argue maybe not. Maybe it's not really Tisha B'Av, it's really this year we're having a regular Shabbos. We're eating, we're drinking, we're greeting each other, we're sitting on nice chairs. So maybe we also are not noeg dvarim shebitzina. We allow tashmish amita during that day. Yeah?
Maybe, I think, is it possible that, like, basically the entire argument here, and entire svar would be totally basically on the fact of, is the Tisha B'Av itself, is the date Tet Av considered the Tisha B'Av itself, or is it a separate date on, like, Yod Av being observed and taking on full responsibility as Tisha B'Av?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. The question is why? Why would we say that? Like, when we have Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, nobody argues that Shmona Asar B'Tamuz is anything, right? Shmona Asar B'Tamuz is the day we observe Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, right? That's just how it works. But, like, there's nothing special about Shmona Asar B'Tamuz. Is there something special about Yud Ba'av? That's the question. In other words, why would I differentiate? So let's just look in the Rashba for 1 second. He's going to reference the answer to that question, which is the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Chav Tes. So the Rashba says, nearly, she'ein noeg bo shum avelus. You don't observe any avelus. Right, that's to just reference that Gemara, that you can eat to your heart's content on that Shabbos. Right? The Avelus Yeshana Shiny. So one three-word svara that he gives, why is it that you can eat as much as you want, and why is it that you can engage in Tashmish Amita, even though if you were a regular Avel, you would not be allowed to? Right, old school. Avelus Yishana versus Avelus Chadasha, right? So when a person dies, God forbid, during the week of Shiva, you're observing new Avelus. This is a tragedy that just occurred. Avelus Yishana has different rules, perhaps, and maybe even it's more lenient than Avelus Chadasha. And therefore, he's saying that even though during Avelus Chadasha, it would be usher for Dvarim Shebitzina on that Shabbos, but Avelis Yishana, we allow it. That's answer number one. Answer number two-ish, I mean, he doesn't like formulate them as two different answers, but he gives two svaros, right? The Kol Shekein, Dilegamre Akrua Mitchi V'Okmua. This is totally, it's a kalvachomer here. Because we uproot Tisha B'Av from the 9th and we reestablish it on the 10th. So that makes this Tisha B'Av different than every other Tisha B'Av. Ume ikara yaroy lekovo basiri kedisa hasam. And really, originally they should have made it on the 10th as it says over there. Now where is there? So let's see the next source, right? The Gemara in Tainus. Gemara in Tainus. B'shiva nichnasu nachrim lehechol. So they're commenting on the Mishnah where they list off what happened during the month of Av, all the tragedies that happened during the end. Right? You guys learn Maseches Tainus, right? So if you ever learn Tainus, you wonder when we're going to get to the Tainus part. Like as you're going, it's all about rain. So because in those days, most of the fasts that they had were fasting for rain. They were totally dependent on rainfall in the Middle East at the time. And if it rained, then everybody was rich. And if it did not rain, everybody became very poor very quickly. So it was a major problem. So most of the fasts that happened were about fasting for rain. Then when you get to the end of the Masechta, then it starts talking about all the fast days that we actually know. So at the very end of the Masechta, they talk about Shiva. So B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So here they're listing off all the things that happen. So what happened? In the seventh day, the Nachrim went into the Beis HaMikdash. V'achlu v'kilkalu bo shvi shmini. And they ate there and they did horrible, unspeakable things in the Beis HaMikdash on the seventh and the eighth day. Uchi samach l'chashecha hitzisu bo sa'ur. And then on the ninth day, towards the end of the day, they lit it on fire. V'hayadolek v'holech kol yom kulo. And it was burning the whole day. Shenemar oy lanu kifana hayom kinatu tzaler. Right, and this is what the pasuk indicates, that it was burning for the majority or the entirity of the day. V'hainu dam Reb Yochanan, and that's why Reb Yochanan said, and here's the key line for us: Il mole ayisibo so ador lo kavativ elabasiri. Had I been around in the generation where they established Tisha B'Av, I would not have established Tisha B'Av. I would have made it Yud B'Av. Yud B'Av was the day the Beis HaMikdash burned, not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av at the end of the day is when the Beis HaMikdash burned. Mipnei sherubo shel heichol bo nisraf. That was the rove of the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. V'Rabbanan. So why did the Rabbanan not listen to Rabbi Yochanan? What? They don't hold of such an obvious svara? So they say, no. Aschalta de paranusa adifa. When the bad things begin, that's when it's... That's the Iker. The Iker is the beginning of the Paranios. So this was the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, and obviously those who were misakein the Tanoim in the generation of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, who were misakein Tisha B'Av, they said, we go by the Aschalta de Paranusa, we go by when things started. And Rabbi Yochanan holds, no, we go by when the Rove of the Heichal burned. So said the Rajba, this is a machlokes that sort of lives on, adayom hazeh. Meaning, we have a rule that we paskin like the rabbim against the yachid, but not entirely. Not entirely. Meaning, really, both Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan have a good argument. And therefore, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we're going to paskin like the Rabbanan. However, when it comes to Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos, this is our opportunity to fulfill Rabbi Yochanan Shita. And we're fulfilling the Dion that Rabbi Yochanan had, that really we should be fasting on the 10th, not on the 9th. So it's not a Tashlumin Derishon. It's not a Tashlumin Derishon, it's a new day that was moved to the 10th. That's the idea that the Rashba is suggesting. So again, the Rashba had two ideas. Number one, maybe we're going to permit Tashmish Amita on Tisha B'Av because it's Avelis Yishana. So that implies what? If you just say it's Avelis Yishana, so therefore we're more Mekel, that implies that what's the real day of Tisha B'Av?
Still
the ninth. The ninth day is a real day of Tisha B'Av. However, if you say that the second svara is the ikur, so that means we're moving it to the 10th. And the reason Tashmi Amit is going to be mutter on the 9th is because the 9th is not Tisha B'Av. It's quite ironic considering it is the 9th of Av, but we don't. It's not the fast of Tisha B'Av. The fast of Tisha B'Av is moved to the 10th, and therefore if you're a bar mitzvah boy who gets bar mitzvah on the 10th day of Av this year, it's not a teshlumin of the Rishon, rather it's a new fast day, and you are chayev in that fast. And obviously this has all the nafkaminas that we spoke about thus far, in terms of, is there a Shavua Shechabot Tisha B'Av, and are you considered to be, are you considered to be chayev in all of the ramifications therein? You guys have more time? Or you have to go. I don't want to keep you extra.
I have a question.
Oh yeah, sure.
And how come, or like Machmir, like the second Minish Mashos hits on Shabbos to start, start with Tanis? If it's still Sabbath Shabbos and we're being like we're being okay completely happy or knowing some Avizos during that time.
You're saying Shabbos might be over.
Like during Minish Mashos, if there's like if we're being okay Tisha B'Av completely
right
from Shabbos. Right. And how come we give like a default to Tisha B'Av on Shabbos?
So here's the compromise that we try to reach is we don't want to overtly go against the fact that it's Shabbos because it might be Shabbos, but we don't want to overtly violate Tisha B'Av because Shabbos might be over, and it's already Tisha B'Av.
Shabbos is like a din d'oraisa,
right? Right. So. We're not docha anything. We're basically trying to play the middle game.
We are docha Shabbos a little bit.
How?
Because you're not able to know that you're going to be able to stay Shabbos.
So we're not. In other words, what are we going to do Shabbos after Shkia, this Shabbos? We're going to fast or we're going to not eat? You understand what I'm saying? What? Okay. In other words, if I see you on a regular Shabbos, and I say, oh, good Shabbos, how come you're not eating? Right? So if you're at a table and there's tons of food in front of you, then perhaps that question is appropriate. You know, we're asking you, how come you're not eating? There's all this delicious food sitting on a table in front of you. But if you're walking down the street on Shabbos, I'm not going to ask you, how come you're not eating? So you're not overtly violating Shabbos by not eating. Right? So if you're fasting, like you're wearing a big sign that says, I'm fasting, and like, you know, and somebody wishes you a good Shabbos, and you say, don't talk to me, I'm fasting. You know, so that's not acceptable behavior, because you're not supposed to be fasting on Shabbos. But if you're just not eating, so you're not officially violating the Shabbos by doing that. You're not, like, if you're sitting on the ground and wearing, you know, no shoes or specific Tisha B'Av type shoes on Shabbos, that would be a violation of the honor and the oneg of Shabbos. But if you're just going to not eat, or if you're just going to learn something else, or in other words, you know, again, like assuming I'm not like the Hasmada police, I wouldn't go over to somebody and say like, oh, good Shabbos, how come you're not learning, right? So it is shayach that there could be a Shabbos where you wouldn't be learning at that moment, you know. So if you're going to not, let's say you assume that post past a certain time on Shabbos, you're not supposed to learn the regular limudim that we have, for the rest of the year. And you, I mean, generally speaking, we're makel on that shaila up until the actual onset of Tisha B'Av. But
what's the restrictions like on Shabbos itself?
On Shabbos itself, so let's assume for us right this minute that the only restrictions are on the regular Shabbos. We're going to assume nothing except for Dvarim Shebetzina, and then after Shkia on Shabbos afternoon, we don't actively engage in things that we would be usher on Tisha B'Av. But we also don't, except we keep our shoes on, because again, we don't want to overtly violate the Kavod and Oneg Shabbos. So therefore, we don't do anything to publicly declare that it's Tisha B'Av, but we also don't want to do anything to violate it in case it's actually Tisha B'Av. Yeah.
Like, according to the
Rashi,
why would he think that we would have to be
knowing Dvarim Shebetzina? He says you're not
knowing
Dvarim
Shebetzina.
Yeah. Right.
So why are we nowadays?
So that's the question. Meaning, what part of the Rashba does the Rama not accept? right? Which part of the Rashba does the Ramah not accept? The Ramah is not basing himself per se on the Rashba, as we'll see in the tour. This is also machlokis amongst the Chachmei Ashkenaz as well, right? The tour quotes it in what's that source over there? The tour quotes it in source number 10, right? In source number 10. Harav Rabbeinu Yitzchak Kasav Afal Pishet Anu Dochen Oso Ad Lamachor Asur B'Tash Meshamita Minidahave Yakover Meso Beregel. And he gives an example. He says sometimes a person dies on Yantif, and in those days they didn't have refrigerators to keep the bodies from decomposing. Excuse me. And therefore they would bury through the they would tell a goy to dig the grave, and they would bury the mace on Yom Tov Sheni. And at that point, you would not observe Avelis, right? If somebody, you know, you guys know the basic rules of Shiva and Shloshim as they pertain to Yantif. So if you were sitting Shiva before Yantif, so then Yantif breaks up the Shiva. It's over. Once the Yantif comes along, it knocks out the Shiva. However, if someone dies on Yantif, then you, even on Chol Hamoed, so then you observe the full Shiva after Yantif is over. So here we're saying that if someone dies on Yantif and they're buried on Yantif, you observe the Shiva after Yantif. However, Dvarim Shebitzinah, you're knowing even on Yantif, so you don't engage in Tashmish Shamita, right? So he said, and that's a perfect example of Tisha B'Av this year, right? We keep Dvarim Shebitzinah on Shabbos, we just don't do anything overtly until after Shabbos is over. Drink water until after Shkia. Nothing that's the Isser of Hachana is only something that's overt. I mean, in other words, if you like, there's a concept where you're allowed to be machshech al atchum, right? Or you're allowed to stand right by the edge of the tchum because it looks kind of like you're going for a walk. I'm going for a walk. What do you mean? No, I know what you're doing. You're waiting for Shabbos to be over, and then you're going to say Baruch Hamad Ben Kosh Lechol, and then you're going to make a run for it outside the Tchum. So you say, that's what you say, because you decided that that's my cheshbon, right? This is a whole Shaila. So you shouldn't overtly say, I'm drinking water now so I don't get dehydrated tomorrow. Or you shouldn't say on Shabbos this year, it was an Erev Shavuos. I shouldn't say, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to take a nap now so that I could stay up all night tonight. You shouldn't say that. You should just say, I want to take a nap now. Right? So that's, or you could say nothing. But you shouldn't overtly do something. You're allowed to, let's say you're planning on buying something in a store and you want to walk to the store, so you'll be right there. The second Shabbos is over, you're going to run in there. You know, it's a black Motzei Shabbos or whatever, you know. So you want to get the sale right away. So you want to run in there right after Shabbos is over. So you're allowed to do that because it looks like you're just out window shopping. You're just looking around, and you like to look in the windows to see what's going on. So that's permissible as long as it's not overtly preparing for Shabbos or discussing business matters on Shabbos as well. So that's the shita of Rabbeinu Yitzchak, and then the Torah quotes Marami Rutenberg, who disagrees, right? And he says, Vaharami Rutenberg chalak alav. Right, he argues, and he says Tashmish Shemitah is mutter on Shabbos. That's Tisha B'Av. But listen to the line that he goes with here. The Sof Dvarav at the end, he writes Umiu Nachol Nahachmer Kedivrei Mori. He says you should paskin like Rabbeinu Yitzchak that it's Asur B'Tashmish Shemitah, even though I think he's wrong. Sha'afilu Hu Meikel Vani Machmer Hoyeli Lasos Kedvarav. He says even in a case where I said something is Asur and he said it's mutter, I really should listen to him, because he's such an awesome Talmud Chacham, and he's my Rebbe, and I love him so much, right? So I would even violate my own word if he held differently than me. V'kol shegein ata shuhu machmir v'ani meikel. And certainly in this case, where he's saying something's usher, and I'm saying it's mutter, you should definitely say that it's usher. So he's saying that even though I disagree, I think you should be noeg l'maisa like Rabbeinu Yitzchak. So that's the, so you have, again, you have this, the Rashba saying that it's Mutter b'tashmish shamita, and you have the tour quoting the Balei HaTosfos who disagree, and concluding that it should be usur b'tashmish shamita. So what we have so far is just a discussion of, is the tainus that we're observing tashlumin derishon, is it a tashlumin of the ninth day being moved to the tenth, or is it its own special day? So we brought in a bunch of different nafkaminas, bar mitzvah boy, tashmish shamita, shavua shechalbo. So Bezrat Hashem, next time we'll try to wrap it up with the other nafkaminas and perhaps see a fresher perspective on when things get pushed off. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you. Yeah.